A text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting is a question that you will find at the end of verse number 25 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 19. And it is this question: who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Matthew chapter 19 tells you about a certain rich man, a young ruler, and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ with a very, very important question. And the question is, good master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Answering that question, the Lord speaks to him and he says, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. In other words, he was telling this young man to turn away from the idols of his riches and to follow him, follow the Lord, and follow Christ. And sadly, the passage of Scripture tells us how this young man, he rejects the counsel of the Lord Jesus. For it says that he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And following this, Christ goes on and he warns the disciples how a person's love for riches and for the things of this world can hinder them from obtaining the greatest of all prizes, the greatest of all treasures, the treasures of God, so great salvation. In fact, he went on to say that it is a hard thing for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. In verse 23, he says, verily, I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, because of pride in their heart, those who have riches and power and influence in society, they find it difficult to humble themselves before the Lord God Almighty. Does not the Bible tell us not many mighty and not many noble are called? Upon hearing this in verse number 25, the disciples asked this all-important question: who then can be saved? And you notice how Christ replies to them in verse 26. It says, but Jesus beheld them. He saw their hearts. He saw their perplexity with this question. And it says, he said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And tonight, friends, it is that vital question there in verse 25 that I want each one of us to consider tonight in this gospel meeting. Who then can be saved? This question reminds you and I about some very important lessons regarding the matter of God's salvation. First of all, this question and these words, they would remind us of man's great need of salvation. It says there, who then can be saved? The question there reminds us of man's greatest need in life, and that need is salvation. That need is to be saved. The Bible declares we must be saved. And my, that need applies to all mankind, because all are sinners before Almighty God, before the Holy God of heaven. And my, Paul the Apostle reminds us of that very fact in his letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. He speaks of mankind before God in his natural state. And he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And again in verse 23 of that same chapter he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, dear people, tonight can I say this is the condition of us all by nature before Almighty God. The psalmist says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Sinners by nature and sinners by practice. My, this sinful nature means within us an inclination to go away from God. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. This sinful nature, it means an inclination within our hearts to break God's laws and transgress God's commandments. The Bible declares that sin is the transgression of the law. It's the breaking of the law of God. Also, this sinful nature, it means within us an inability to keep God's standards and to live to God's glory. The Bible says, but we are all as an unclean thing before God. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. By describing sin, the Shorter Catechism rightly describes it with these words. It says, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And that's what sin is. My, it is a failing to conform to God's law, God's glory. It's the transgression, the breaking of God's commandments and God's holy law. In every family, there is always a family likeness between parents or children, maybe between grandparents and grandchildren, maybe even between children and aunts and uncles. You'll always see a family likeness. Well, dear people, tonight in this meeting, you and I have a family likeness. You and I have a likeness with our first parents, Adam and Eve, who were created by God and who were put in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of time, that the Bible tells you how Satan came and tempted them to sin, and they fell into sin before Almighty God. And because of that, sin through them has passed upon all mankind. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world. And my friend, that is your family likeness to your first parents, Adam and Eve. The likeness of sin. Sin by nature and sin by practice. And what is the outcome of sin? By it means that God's displeasure, God's wrath is upon us because of our sin. You read of God looking upon man and his sin in the day of Noah. And it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that it grieved him at his heart. Sin grieves God. It grieves the very heart of God. It grieved God so much that it caused him to drive Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden because of their sin. I'll be under no illusion tonight that sin is something that grieves God. People today laugh at sin. They treat it lightly. They mock it. But sin, I tell you, is no light thing with God. Oh, not only does it grieve God, because of our sin by nature, you and I are unable to break free from the chains of sin. Our brother was singing there earlier on of how Christ gave freedom from sin. But my friend, in and of ourselves, you and I have no ability to break free from the chains, the bondage, the fetters of sin. The Bible says that you and I, by nature, are dead in trespasses and in sins. Also, because of our sin, it means that we're separated from God. Sin separates you from God. The Bible says the carnal mind, that's the natural man, is at enmity against God, at war with God, separated from God. And also because of our sin after this life, we are condemned to eternal punishment and judgment in hell, the lake of fire for our sin. The Bible declares that the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of sin is a perishing way. It's a hard way. It's a broad way. The Bible says that leads to everlasting destruction in that place which the Bible warns and calls hell. Oh, true are the words that sin pays in remorse and with regret and failure. Friend, that's the payment of sin. The fruit of it is remorse and regret and failure and heartbreak and sorrow and bitterness and tears and life. Friend, in our meeting tonight, let me make it very clear that you need to be saved. That's your greatest need in life. Yes, as you sit in this meeting tonight, you may have many pressing needs, and I would not doubt that. Maybe you have needs that concern your health. And as often and indeed rightly been said, that your health is your wealth, and that is vital, very important. You may be of needs tonight that would concern your home, your family, your loved ones. Those are dear to your heart. You may be of financial needs that concern you and concern your circumstances and situation. You may have needs concerning your job, your employment, your vacation in life. Needs that concern your education and learning and things like that. Needs that concern your friends and those that are close to you. And they may all be very legitimate needs and one way or another. But you know your greatest need tonight, I tell you, is salvation. Your greatest need is to be saved. To be saved from your sins. To be saved from a lost eternity. And hell, this question asks, who then can be saved? Oh, see this tonight, if you're still not a Christian, that you need to be saved. That you need God's salvation. Yes, we see here man's need of salvation. Notice something else tonight. Not only does this question remind us about man's need of salvation, it also would show us that salvation is impossible with man. The disciples asked the question, who then can be saved? They were perplexed by what the Lord had said about those who are rich and powerful and affluent in society. And it says in verse 26, but Jesus beheld them. He saw their perplexity. He saw their concern. And he said unto them, with men this is impossible. And there Christ speaks to the disciples. What is he saying to them there in that opening statement of verse number 26? He is saying that there is no way of salvation as far as man is concerned. As far as self is concerned, he says, with man, this is impossible. Salvation is impossible with man. To be saved is impossible as far as man is concerned. Now, this is a great Bible truth that every one of us need to realize and need to understand. You and I have no hope of salvation from sin whatsoever. In anything of ourselves, or in anything of man. Isaiah the prophet, he understood this, speaking of his own self before God. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. He knew there was nothing in himself, nothing in man that could merit him salvation before Almighty God. Highlighting that same great truth, Paul in his letter to the Romans says in Romans 5 verse 6 about man, he says, for when we, he says, were yet without strength. And those words, yet without strength, show that man has no ability to save himself from sin. You and I, we have no natural ability whatsoever, I tell you, to deal with the awful problem of sin in our hearts. And sin in our lives. We have no ability of our own. There's no ability in self or man to deal with sin. God is one who has a record of all our sins. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And there's not one thing that you and I can do that will blot out the record of our sins before Almighty God. Not one deed that you and I can do or put our hand to that will blot out the account of our sins before the holy God of heaven. Also because of the guilt of our sin, you and I, we are condemned to hell, to a lost eternity. And again, there is nothing that we can do. There's not one thing that you and I can do that will take away the guilt of our sin before God and will quench the wrath of God that is upon us because of our sin. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. There's not one thing that you and I can do that will take away that guilt of sin, that will save us from the wrath to come. Also, the Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That is our hearts by nature before God. And again, you and I have no power whatsoever to change the nature of our hearts. Jeremiah highlights that great truth in Jeremiah 13 and verse 23 when he says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leper change his spots?" And the answer, of course, is no. There's not one thing that you and I can do ourselves that will deal with the sinful nature of our hearts, such as the depravity of man and his sin. My, when you are ill, yes, you can go to your doctor and your doctor will help you regarding your physical needs, whatever those medical needs are. And we thank God for doctors and those who are nurses and the medical profession. But I tell you this, there is no physician of self, or there is no physician of man that can cure your sinful heart or can cure my sinful heart. There's none whatsoever. And also there's nothing that you or anyone else can do or give that will merit you salvation. What does the Bible say about salvation? It says, salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Bible says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified before Almighty God. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting tonight, understand this. As far as your salvation is concerned, what does the Bible say? It says, vain is the help of man. There is no salvation in self. There is no salvation in man whatsoever. If you turn your Bible back to Matthew chapter number 7 and to the verse number 22, and the verse number 23 of that chapter, here the Lord Jesus Christ is highlighting for us the folly of those on the judgment day who will come before Him depending on their own works and their own religiosity for their salvation. And look at what He says about them in verse 22 and verse 23 of Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." He says, "I never knew you." He says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What a warning to those that are depending on self and depending upon works for salvation. Friend, what a warning that is to anyone in this meeting tonight, and you're depending upon something of yourself, depending upon something of man for your salvation and a right relationship with God. I tell you tonight, self and man can do nothing whatsoever to save your sinful soul and to make you right with Almighty God. There's a great hymn in our hymn book written by a man called Horatius Bonner many years ago. And this is what he says about salvation. Listen to his words. He says, "Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh have borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load." Those are great words of truth. Friend, you may shed tears over your sin, but your tears, I tell you, will not deal with your sin. They will not take away your sins before Almighty God. My, you may show remorse over your sin, but your remorse, I tell you, will not take away the guilt of your sin or give you peace with God. You see, salvation, as far as man is concerned, is impossible. That's what Jesus says here following this question in Matthew chapter 19. Who then can be saved? He says, with man this is impossible. There's one final thing I want you just to notice in closing tonight in connection with our text. Not only do we see man's need of salvation, that salvation as far as man is concerned is impossible, but notice in the final place tonight, I want you to see this, that salvation is possible with God. Look at what Christ goes on to say in the latter part of verse 26. Following this question, who then can be saved? He says, but with God. Praise God for that statement. With God, all things are possible. And there Christ was telling his disciples that God in grace and God graciously has provided a wonderful salvation for sinners. And you know, that's the good news of the gospel tonight. God has devised a way, a plan whereby you and I in this meeting can be saved from our sins, saved from a lost eternity and hell, and saved from going down into the pit. Think of the words of Jonah the prophet. What did he say? Salvation is of the Lord. God is the author of salvation. Yes, God is the one, I tell you, who has planned it all. The hymn writer says, my Father planned it all. He has planned it all. He has provided this salvation. He is the author of this salvation. For it is against him that you and I have sinned. Did not the psalmist say to the Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned? God has provided this salvation because of his great love toward us as sinners. Oh, the Bible declares that God is love. The Bible says herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And out of love for our souls, he has provided this salvation. God has made this way of salvation by the sending of a Son. By the sacrifice of a Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, upon the cross of Calvary, the center cross on Calvary's hill. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And what did Christ do upon that cross? On that cross he bore the wrath of God upon himself that sinners like you and I deserved for our sins. The Bible says the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He became our substitute. By his sacrifice, by the shedding of his precious blood, he purchased salvation for all who will believe on him as Savior and trust him for salvation. When John saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Bible says by his own blood he obtained eternal redemption for us. Dear friend, tonight God's way of salvation for you is by you coming to Christ in faith. By putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone and resting upon him alone for your salvation. He says, look unto me. And be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. He does not say, look to yourself. He does not say, look to man. He does not say, look to religion. He does not say, look to the church. But he says, look unto me. Look to my sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary and trust in me. Trust in the precious blood that I shed upon the cross of Calvary for the salvation of your soul and the cleansing away of your sins. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. That's how you're saved tonight. By putting your faith, by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be your Savior. There's no other way. And you know, whenever you trust Christ as Savior, you know what God will do for you? He will pardon all your sins. Whatever those sins are, he'll pardon every single one of them. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on him, that's Christ, shall receive remission of sins. His Holy Spirit will come and dwell in your heart and change your life and enable you to live to the glory of God. Does not the Bible say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And my, when you trust him, he will deliver you from hell, from going down to the pit of destruction. And he will fit you for heaven and for glory. The Bible says this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Life, abundant life, eternal, is not in yourself. It's not in man. It's not in the preacher. It's not in this church or any other church. It's in Christ alone. It's in the Son of God alone. It's through His sacrifice alone upon the cross of Calvary. The hymn writer rightly says, salvation full at highest cost He offers. Free to all. Friend, that's what God offers you tonight in this gospel meeting. Salvation full at highest cost. What a salvation He gives you. Friend, I ask you tonight, what are you going to do with God's offer of salvation in Christ? I pray tonight that you will not be like this rich young ruler that we've read about tonight. Look at his response to Christ in verse 22 of the chapter. It says, and when that young man heard that saying, it says of Christ that he went away sorrowful from Christ, for he had great possessions. He went away from the Lord. No record of him being saved. No record of him knowing God's so great salvation. Don't you be like him. Be wise tonight. Come by faith to Christ. Trust him who died upon the cross, who rose again. Trust him as your Savior and receive into your heart, into your life, God's wonderful gift of eternal salvation. You think about this question tonight. Who then can be saved? There is an answer to that question, and the answer is this. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Friend, is that you? As you sit in this meeting tonight, are you a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, resting upon Him alone for salvation? Oh, if you're not, I pray tonight that God will speak on to your heart. And that you will come even this very night as a repentant sinner to Christ. And put your faith and trust in Him and be saved for time, for all of eternity.